Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio and study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us in the study of the Word of God. Today, we're continuing our study from Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 38, where the Bible said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." And we're looking at the thought of praying for missions. And on the last two broadcasts, I have dealt with the thought that we're to pray the Lord of the harvest that he had send forth laborers. We're to pray for laborers to be sent. Let me remind you again, this is the only prayer request that he ever made. The reason this lays so heavy upon his heart is because that is his burden. That is his desire. He realizes the harvest is plenteous. He realizes the harvest is precious, and he realizes the harvest is perishing. And so he says to the disciples, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into his harvest." I said to you, the job of the church is to pray them in, see them saved, pray them up, see them strong, and then pray them out, see them serving. And I said on yesterday that we have a multitude of preachers say they're called of God, but they're sitting around on our church pews basically doing nothing but going to church. They're doing nothing with the call of God upon their life. Now, I'm not talking about just young preachers. I realize a young preacher needs to get some experience working with his pastor, and God doesn't put a novice to do a man's job. But I'm talking about fellows who have been saved for years and surrendered to preach for a number of years, and they just sit around looking as though they're waiting for some pastor to die where they can get his pulpit and begin their ministry. But I want to say it again, dear friend, and I say it with a heart of love. If God calls you to preach, but he calls you to get busy, and I encourage you, get busy with God in praying, and if necessary, fasting and praying, and find out what God wants you to do in your life. You see, here's one of the problems that bothers me. And the statistics vary a little bit, but they tell us that we have about 90% of the preachers preaching to about 10% of the world population. That leaves about 10% of the preachers to preach to about 90% of the world population. Now, I must submit to you, our God is not that bad of a manager when it comes to managing the work of the harvest. So you say, "What's wrong, preacher?" I am convinced that we've not been praying enough conviction upon people where God would speak to them and call them to go into the harvest. Can you imagine if I had a 100-acre farm and I had 100 employees and I put 90 employees on 10 acres and I put 10 employees on 90 acres? Now, there would be two problems. Number one, the 10 employees could never work the 90 acres as successful as it needed to be worked. But the 90 employees on the 10 acres would be bumping into each other, running over each other, fussing about how the other one was doing it or was not doing it, and just griping and complaining. And friend, that's what's happening in a lot of our churches today. We got a lot of preachers sitting around here criticizing others when there is plenty of open space around the world for them to go and serve God. So I say to you, first of all, that we're to pray for laborers to be sent. And I do want to emphasize again, I believe God gave us that statement for us to do. And if we will pray, God will answer that prayer. And I am convinced at the judgment seat of Christ, God will introduce us to the people whom he called to the ministry as a result of our praying, and then God will allow them to introduce us to their fruit, and we'll see for the first time the real fruit of the intercessory prayers that we prayed for God to send forth laborers into the harvest. But I want to move on the broadcast today. I said to you on Monday, some years ago, God began to deal with my heart about praying for missions. And it was really embarrassing when I had to face my own self and how little I knew about praying for missions. To be honest with you, and again, please don't be offended. I'm not being critical. But all I knew to pray for missionaries was, God, bless our missionaries. Now, I'm glad that God knows what the word bless means. God knows who our missionaries are. But friend, that's just like praying, God save all the sinners. You could get up every Sunday morning and say, God bless all the pastors. And there's nothing wrong with you doing that. But they ought to be more to your prayer life than just God save all the sinners and bless all the preachers and meet the needs of all the missionaries. There ought to be some specific intercessory prayer coming from your heart to the throne of God on behalf of missionaries and the work of missions. And so I said, Lord, I don't know how to pray for missionaries effectively, but if you will teach me to pray, I will pray, and then I'll teach and preach to others also how they're to pray for missions. And God began to deal with my heart, and I want to give you what God has given me. Let me say to you first of all, and this is a very strong statement, but I am convinced it's right. We're wrong to send the missionary to a foreign field, send him a check once a month, and forget him the rest of the time. We ought to be in consistent prayer for our missionaries. As a matter of fact, I encourage churches to publish a list of their missionaries to the members. Then I encourage the members in their own way, as the Holy Spirit would direct them, to work out a plan, work out a schedule, and try not to let a week go by that you do not call your missionaries by name. You might divide them up into 7 categories and pray for them all week long. But there needs to be some systematic method of praying for missions. Again, I emphasize, we're wrong to send them to the foreign field and forget them. It bothers me as our troops go to war on a foreign soil. And then we have those who forget to pray for them and support them with their prayers and their moral support. And friend, I want to tell you, we're wicked as Christians if we send missionaries to the front lines of our battlefield and we forget them. We do not support them with our prayers and our correspondence, our communication, and give them the support they need to encourage their heart and do the work that God has called them to do. I'm fixing to make a statement. I pray the Holy Ghost will write up on your memory, and you'll never forget it. You see, we give so the missionary can live, but we must pray for the missionary to stay. There's not enough money in the world to keep a missionary on the field when everything is going wrong if we do not pray for God to sustain them and God's will to be done in their life. And it grieves me, and it grieves the heart of God when a missionary leaves the field and comes home and leaves an empty space there in the work of God. And so we're to pray for them. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You remember Samuel anointed Saul to be the first king over Israel. Israel got to wanting to be like other nations and have their own king instead of honoring God, their king. And so God had him to anoint Saul to be the king over Israel. And then later on, Israel realized that they had missed God. And if I could use our language, they were backslid, and Saul was their king out of the will of God, and they're in trouble. And they're afraid that Samuel will stop praying for them. And so they approached Samuel and requested of him that he not forsake them. But Samuel said in 1 Samuel chapter number 12, verse number 23, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Now, if it was a sin against God for Samuel not to pray for backslid Israel, how much more is it a sin against the Lord for you and I not to pray for God's servants on the front line of the battle? We call them our missionaries. You say, well, preacher, how am I to pray for them? I want to mention eight areas that you and I can pray for our missionaries in. I hope you'll get a pencil, a piece of paper, and write them down. In fact, I'm going to name them all now so we'll have them together, and then I'll deal with them as time permits me to do so. And the Lord willing, I'll name them again on the broadcast tomorrow. But let me say to you, we're to pray for their needs spiritually. We're to pray for their needs physically. We're to pray for their needs emotionally. We're to pray for their needs mentally. We're to pray for their need socially. We're to pray for their needs domestically. We're to pray for their need financially. And we're to pray for their needs morally. There's eight of them. I believe I named all of them: spiritual, physical, emotional, mental, social, moral, domestic, and financial. Pray for these areas. Let's look at the first one on the broadcast today. We're to pray for the needs of the missionary spiritually. Do you say, preacher, what does that include? Well, let me say it in a nutshell. It includes every spiritual need that you have in your own life to pray over. And it includes every spiritual need that you have in your church and in the work of the Lord to pray over. Could I just elaborate for a moment? Personally, we're to pray for that missionary to have the right walk with God, the right time in prayer, the time in the Word, the time in the fellowship, and spend that time in communing with God in a manner of praying and reading the Bible. And he must maintain his own spirituality and his own spiritual walk. If he's going to help others, he must have that himself. And then as far as the work is concerned, there are messages to be prepared and delivered. There are Sunday school lessons to be prepared and taught. There are services to be conducted, visits to be made. Everything that goes on at your church, if it's biblical, is probably going on at the missionary church that he's beginning. And generally, as he begins the work, he is having to do all of it. So we need to pray for him spiritually, both in his own personal relationship with the Lord, in his public walk with the Lord, and in the worship and walk and work of the church that God is enabling him to begin there on the mission field. So number one, pray for him spiritually. Look at the spiritual panorama of your life, your needs. And then the missionary has the same need, and we're to pray for them. Father, take the word now. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I'm grateful to the Lord for the radio stations that carry the broadcast, and I do trust that you'll pray for them and support them as the Holy Spirit directs you to do so. As we approach the Christmas season, I want to wish all the personnel at each station and you, the listener, a very blessed Christmas and a healthy and happy and spiritually prosperous new year. And I trust that God will bless you. You'll have a wonderful time with your family and friends during the holiday season. Let me encourage you that as you do your Christmas giving, that you remember the Harvest Time broadcast. A letter from you at this time of the year would be such a blessing. And even if you could not send any support, it's always a joy and a blessing to receive Christmas cards. So take a moment and write to us and share with us, if it's at all possible, in the financial burden. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. God bless you until the next broadcast.
I do not wait.